We'll reconvene the hearing. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Next witness is Dr. Gail Tipper, and you should have a summary of her evidence.
Kia ora te whānau, tēnā koe Commissioner Allison, and kia ora to the rest of the panel. My evidence describes the relationship of cultural health indicators and the Ministry for the Environment's Environmental Performance Indicator Program. The identification of cultural indicators by Ngāi was one of four Māori case studies that were supported to test the efficacy of Māori participation in the formulation of environmental performance indicators. My evidence described three stages of the project that have been completed. Stage one of the project and parts of stage two are the most relevant to the matters being discussed today. Stage one identified a set of indicators that Ngāi Tahu used to assess the health of freshwater resources. Stage two, indicators of health and mahinga kai were refined to develop a tool and a process that could be used by Kaitiaki to assess the condition of freshwater resources. The indicators that resulted from stage one of the project reflect Māori concerns for the health throughout catchment due to katai. All the indicators identified represent the factors that Ngāi Tahu, Kaumātua and resource managers believe are conducive to a healthy river with a strong, vibrant Māori. The indicators also illustrate how the perspectives Māori bring to resource management differ from those of non-Māori. A comparison of the indicators identified by Ngāi Tahu with Western science-based indicators identified by the Ministry of Health's Freshwater Working Group reveal the extent of the differences. I'm confident that the cultural health indicators arising from stages one and two of the project, and those included within the cultural health index, are able to be replicated and assessed during fieldwork. I'm also confident that the indicators, when applied as part of a robust process, recognise and provide for Māori values described by other witnesses. Finally, cultural indicators are being applied in other regions of New Zealand and internationally, for example, in the Murray-Darling Basin of Australia. Cultural indicators provide Ngāi Tahu with the opportunity to highlight fundamental differences between a Māori and a non-Māori perspective. One example to highlight the different perspectives was the definition of water pollution. Māori spiritual values with respect to water include perceptions of pollution that conflict with scientific measures. For example, drinkable water, which has been touched on a lot today and included in the video, may be scientifically defined as carrying contaminants, but at a level that's not toxic to humans. In other words, a certain level of degradation can occur. In contrast, Ngāi Tahu would require drinking water to be protected from spiritual pollution, which prohibits certain discharges regardless of the level of physical contamination. And that is referenced in Ministry for the Environment, and the chapter was written by Hannah Kringle. While stage one of the EPI project required Ngāi Tahu to identify indicators of stream health, stage two sought to operationalise the indicators through the development of an index. The stream index, and I call it a stream index because since then there's been indicators developed for wetlands, lakes, and there's also a marine index. So we're talking about a stream index. It was developed and first used in 2002, and it has three components. Stage one looks at the site status. Stage two looks at mahinga kai. Stage three looks at measures of stream health. A concern that was voiced when we were developing indicators and the index was the inability of some of the indicators that were identified in stage one to be replicated or applied by others undertaking assessments in the field. As part of stage two, we developed a comprehensive research design with advice from Professor Colin Townsend from the Zoology Department at the University of Otago. And I jointly managed the program with Laurel Turney so that we implemented a Western Scientific Māori co-development model. Stage two included another 20 interviews with Ngāi Tahu whānau from across the Rohe or Ngāi Tahu, and it was agreed that some indicators would be dropped from further consideration. Because our goal was to develop a tool that was responsive to how whānau assess a waterway, we also identified how the indicators identified by whānau were incorporated into components of the index. During stage two, we also used statistical analyses, correlations and multiple regression to identify those cultural indicators that most closely correlate with the assessment that whānau awarded for overall stream health. The University of Otago provided advice on research throughout these analyses, and in fact it was the stream team from the University of Otago that undertook the analyses. I'm confident that the cultural health indicators arising from stage two of the project and within the index are able to be replicated and assessed during fieldwork. The extra analyses that we undertook during stage two give us confidence that the indicators are replicable and should address the concerns of Horticulture New Zealand that cultural indicators are a vague or uncertain matter that impose undue uncertainty and burdens upon farmers and applicants. Kia ora, thank you.
Thank you very much for that. See if we have questions. Morris, to start at the room.
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I don't really have any questions, but I might just explore your definition of mahinga kai and the transfer of mātauranga or knowledge. Do you want to talk about that? Because that's a component of a mahinga kai that's, I understand, is quite important.
Yes, but I'll leave the definitions to Murihiku whānau.
Yeah.
But there is a component within the index that assesses mahinga kai. We started with four indicators, but as we've done further studies, that's now up to 10 because it's been modified and refined. And we've said all along that we developed a cultural health index, not the cultural health index. So we started with four. And I guess the thing is with the index, the whole background to indicators is that we were looking at things to identify what can be measured, because a lot of the resource management activities is based on having indicators that are measurable. So we do not capture a traditional definition of mahinga kai, it's impossible to. All that we've captured within our component is the indicators that are measurable. So if you like, this will be the concept of mahinga kai that whānau from Murihiku actually define. And within our cultural health index, we've picked attributes that are measurable, so we do a subset of that. But also, we've got the index, but the other part of it is the research design by which you go out to apply it. And so mātauranga informs the sites where you go out to assess and those sorts of things. So it's embedded in the index, but mātauranga is also embedded in the design where you apply the index.
And so the tool is validated?
Yes, I've talked about stage one and stage two.
Mm-hmm.
We did the indicators of stage one. Stage two was a validation because we went back and we re-interviewed. So stage two was a validation of stage one. We come up, stage two, we were confident that we had something for a particular. When you talk about validation, we went through a validation exercise to make sure that the cultural health index could be used in rivers of different sizes, rivers of different types, different land uses. We had deer, we had dairying, we had forestry, we had native bush. We tested it against percentage of catchment developed. We tested it with different runanga, and we tested it with different iwi as well. We went from down in Otago up to the Tukituki in Hawke's Bay. So all the way through we've done validation exercises, yes.
And who confirms its validation, MFE?
No, it was, we've got two publications that were actually done. So in fact, I think it was validated by iwi. Mana Whenua validated it as we went along. We did the statistical analyses to get it accepted by those that probably questioned it, that it was uncertain and woolly and some of those other adjectives that they use. So he did all the different analyses to be able to, if you like, validate it for use by others.
So very transportable.
Yes.
Among iwi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
No questions. Just one, if I may, I'm just looking at Appendix 3 in your evidence, and there's two pictures of the back here, Oval River on
yep.
Lake Road. It's the same one with water and one with the other, and you've
yes.
got a variation there. And then
yep.
you go across to the curve, the flow duration
yep.
curve. Could you just run me through how that all links together? Because I presume that the variation water flow is actually a seasonal variation.
Yes.
And what does that actually mean, or is it something that we need to be aware of?
No, for this particular example, when I said before in relation to Commissioner Allison about the research design, this Urwell site was visited 18 times over the course of a year. So this is the summary of the data. What you don't see behind it is all the different analyses. So this is just two photos, but they've got photos across the whole season. And the purpose for this particular assessment was to identify the flows that they wanted to see. It was the purpose. Dr. Kitson before said about the question that people ask, the question that is being asked. Well, the question here for the Urwell River was, what was the flow that whānau wanted to see in this river at this site? And so the assessment process was designed to go out and see it across the season, under multiple flows, under different conditions. So whānau went out and did their assessment. When they went out and did their assessment, they had no idea what the flow was, what they were observing. They just observed whether or not they were satisfied with the flow that they were seeing.
Okay, so if I take it that those two photos are extremes for the case of your evidence, is that correct? And then if I go across to the...
No, they're not, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but the 350 litres a second, the top photograph, is actually the current minimum flow. So that's put in there to illustrate the current minimum flow. The bottom photo of 890, that is the flow that whānau actually wanted to see, and that is the flow that's been adopted by the Canterbury Regional Council of 890 litres a second.
Okay. And then the over to page 3, that's a percentage of time below what you would
yes.
like in your value.
Yeah. And that was just highlighting for whānau that all rivers have low flows, but it was highlighting for them another piece of information to say that if we look at a flow duration curve, you can actually see the percentage of time that the river is going to be under certain levels. So it was just further information for whānau to help with their decision making.
Thank you. Any questions?
I just have one question for you. In your studies and in your evidence, you refer to cultural health indicators.
Yeah.
I note in this plan, and it first appears in policy 2, the phrase used is Ngāi Tahu indicators of health. So my question was, in terms of consistent plan interpretation across the country, should it say Ngāi Tahu indicators of cultural health, or is there a reason that it should stay as Ngāi Tahu indicators of health?
No, I don't.
You don't know?
No, but I...
I'll ask one of the planners then, eh?
Yeah, but I don't see an issue with it being Ngāi Tahu indicators of health.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically, we use the term cultural health to imply that it's indicators that are assessed through a cultural lens, because we do still have... people who think that they can go out and do cultural assessments for us.
And no further questions, but you may be interested to know that your work is well recognised nationwide you're often referred to in hearings I do in the North Island.
Thank you very much for the feedback.
Don't look there, please.
Thank you, sir.